obviously, getting hit in the head, getting a concussion isn't going to be good for anybody, but I would assume that it's going to be particularly bad for young people whose brains are still developing. What's in place to protect them? Do you know of any state laws, rules, and that sort of thing for players and coaches at the youth levels?
Yeah, so it's a good question, and I think that it's a trickle-down effect. You know, everybody knows about the NFL now and the rules that they've put in place. And you'll have to check this, but I believe there was a House bill that was signed by Governor Beshear in April of 2012 that outlines some basic things that need to happen as far as sports-related injuries. I think it requires that coaches and parents be informed and trained to some degree. It requires that kids that have suffered a concussion be pulled out of games, and it requires that that when they go back into a game, they're cleared by a physician or medical personnel. And so those are things that are starting to be put in place. Now, it's kind of an umbrella. You know, it's a general coverage, but it in no way really gets to the heart of the matter, which is the difficult questions. When the coach is on the sideline and he has a kid that's been hit, you know, how should he or she evaluate that child, and how long should they keep them out? When should they send them back in? These are all things that are still debated and topics of conversation among physicians. And there's a lot of scales that we use. There's about 20 of them, frankly. They sort of outline what are the standards of care as far as sending kids back in.
And speaking of standards of care, is this something that people in your field and other physicians are getting more involved with local teams, or the local teams are trying to bring them in more so that they have a better awareness of what to be looking for when a kid gets hit on the field?
Absolutely. I mean, now that it's become a national issue, and frankly, now that there are lawsuits, you know, it's taken on a life of its own now, and it's grown into something very big. And so every school now, I think, has a vested interest in making sure that this is handled the right way. And it can be a simple process, really, as long as you have the checks and balances in place to clear athletes to replay or not play again. You know, people like Richard Blaylock, who is the physician for the college, you know, does an incredible job of evaluating these guys and women on the sideline and deciding, you know, they can't go back in, or they need to go back in. And, you know, he'll call me sometimes and say, hey, I got a kid here I'm really worried about. Can you take a look at him? And, you know, we try to get him in that day or the next day and say, what's going on here? And so, yeah, I mean, we're becoming more and more involved. I get a lot of kids from the coaches call, and they say, I need you to take a look at this kid. We don't want to play him until you've had a chance to look at him or her. And I keep saying him, but actually females are even more at risk.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that, from the latest numbers that I've been seeing, is a huge number of female athletes that are coming in with these injuries, soccer, lacrosse, that sort of thing. What has caused this increase? I mean, I'm sure there's multiple factors, but what's going on there?
This is a very hot topic right now in research, and it's frankly not very well understood. It's thought that there are multiple factors involved here, and I'll just outline a few of them. First of all, just to give you a fact, I think the average speed, when a soccer player heads a ball, it's thought that it's going about 70 miles an hour. The impact is the equivalent of that. So it is a major problem, and I remember playing soccer, and we didn't even think about it, you know. And now, and then you also have more and more women getting involved in sports, to the point now where I think it's 50-50 now. And so there are a lot of women soccer players. So this is a major problem, and actually that's the area where most women in organized sports are hurt, is soccer. Men, it's football. Women, it's soccer. So we don't understand why women are more prone to these injuries, but it's very, very clear that they are. The statistics are overwhelming that when a woman suffers a concussion, they are usually affected more by it, and the effect of it is more prolonged. Now, without getting too much on the biochemical level, there are definitely differences between a male brain and a female brain, especially when you're dealing with hormones. And the interesting thing about it is that there's some discussion that the female hormones might be neuroprotective, and they might actually help a brain recover more. So that doesn't really fit in with the whole picture, why women are more affected than men. We just don't know. But we know that it's clearly the case, clearly the case.
I know that from what I was reading, recovery times for like high school athletes could be three times as long as someone for college. But just from my experience, when I was in high school sports, people weren't taking off a long time after these injuries. Is this a big problem?
Sure, and again, this is where things are changing. Again, when I was younger, you know, it was not uncommon to get hit hard and then go back out on the field, and to some degree that still happens, but I think as awareness is grown about this issue, people are realizing that the effects of a concussion can last for a long time. There are, like I said, there are rating scales. There are different they're trying to basically, there's an attempt to sort of establish a standard of care. I tend to use the American Academy of Neurology as my, you know, sort of standard as far as what needs to happen. But you can take a look at those scoring scales. I mean, they all, basically concussions are rated from, you know, mild to severe, or grade zero, grade one, grade two, grade three. And the more severe a head injury, and generally one way you can gauge that is how long someone's knocked out. Now, most kids aren't knocked out. Most kids don't lose consciousness. Clearly, if they lose consciousness, generally for less than a minute, for more than a minute, it's a very big deal. And that's where you get into life-threatening type injuries, and you certainly would not want to play them for a long time. Some of those can even be career-ending. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely conservative when it comes to this stuff. I have children, and I would want their doctor to be very conservative. So as far as, you know, when I evaluate a child, I go above and beyond the standard of care as far as really what needs to happen. And a lot of that's a clinical judgment, you know, just how do they look? How do they feel? How are their symptoms? But generally they need to be symptom-free for a certain amount of time before they can go back. And generally I like them to ease back into practice. They need to be symptom-free during practice for a week or two, and then they can ease back into the game itself.